Chattahoochee, copyright 2023 by Randy Cooper. All rights reserved. No parts of this podcast may be used or reproduced by any means without the expressed written permission of the author. Chattahoochee, Chapter 5. "Good news," she said. "Great, I need some." I turned away from the computer and looked across my desk at Tyra. "Enlighten me." "We have a possible match on the body. We'll need a DNA sample to confirm, but I think this is our girl. Do you want to call the parents?" "Sure, it's what I live for." "Yeah, I'll call." "Mother of God, how do I do this?" "Are you sure?" Tyra asked. "Yeah, let's grab somebody from Vic Services and drive over." "It's Cobb County, Kennesaw. You sure you want to drive?"
"Positive."
"Yeah, I don't think I'm gutless enough to ask a parent over the phone to come down to the morgue to take a look at a body. By the way, it's probably your lovely daughter."
We went downstairs on our way out and picked up Ann Stevens from Victim Services. Ann's job is to catch them before they hit the deck, after I deliver the bad news to them. She tells them that their loved one has gone to a better place, and, with time, they'll learn to live with it. Then she somehow convinces them that we're going to find the perpetrator and bring justice to the family. Shit, at least I tell them the truth. What justice could I possibly bring to this family? Short of bringing their daughter back from the dead or executing this guy right in front of them, any other result falls far short. When we arrived at the Boxter residence, I had a picture of her, and I hoped to God I would receive a resounding hell no, even if it meant setting my investigation back a bit. I was glad we hadn't eaten, because I felt like I was going to puke any minute. I was intimidated by their house. Sure, real estate values are less this far away from the city, but the place had to be over 6,000 square feet. I was guessing it was worth somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $1 million or more. And if we're right, this poor bastard would have given it all up to have his little girl back. After our brief introductions, he explained his wife had been sedated since they had determined their daughter was missing last weekend. I thought to myself, they're going to have to put her in restraints after tonight. I suggested he look at the picture first. He didn't have to speak any confirmation. One hand came up, and his forehead went to rest in it, and he began to cry. Ann put an arm around him, but I knew I could have emptied my 9mm into his gut and caused him less pain. He regained his composure long enough to say, "It's Meredith," and then he broke down. I looked at the picture, and I heard her call to me again, "Craig," just like she did when I first saw her. I think Ann saw me standing there dazed. "Craig, will you please make us some coffee?" Ann asked and looked at Mr. Boxter. He nodded. "It's to the right of the stove." I headed for the kitchen, just happy to get away from it all. The coffee maker was easy to find sitting on the counter, but Mr. Coffee wasn't stepping foot inside the Boxters. This was some fancy French or German design, and I spent some time just trying to figure it out before I started hunting for the coffee. Once I was reasonably sure I possessed the brass ring required to operate this contraption, my quest for coffee began in earnest. I opened one cabinet after another. Jeez, their kitchen is bigger than my living room. Finally, "Eureka!" I hit the mother lode, Crown Royal. I was overjoyed at my find and was sliding it out of its purple velvet bag when I heard a voice whisper ever so softly, "Craig, don't you dare." I whispered back, "Mind your own business." She came over and grabbed it out of my shaking hands. "You are my business, partner," she hissed. I quickly and silently excused myself and headed to the car for a cigarette. I was just finishing when Tyra came out and explained they were calling a neighbor to stay with Mrs. Boxter. Ann would drive Mr. Boxter and meet us at the morgue. Tyra was ready to eat, and I was ready to puke. We got into an argument about where we were going to stop, because I wanted a sit-down restaurant where I could order a drink. Well, Tyra had me figured out, so she was pushing for fast food, allegedly in the interest of saving time. I finally gave up trying to win this one. Tyra interrupted the silence of our meal when she started on me. "You know I'm on your side. I want to see you get through this." "Get through what, Tyra?" "This dark time of your life." "Oh, is that what you call it?" "It isn't a dark time. It's just life, and life sucks, and then you die. Have you ever heard that before?" "Craig, you can't keep going on like this." The silence resumed, thankfully, but I know there was some truth in what she said. I wondered how much longer I could continue myself. My plan was just to plod forward and put one day behind me each day. Take today, for example. So far, I've worked one crime scene of a grisly homicide, delivered the news to a father of his daughter's sudden and violent death, and we're on the way to get him to ID the body before we butcher it during the final autopsy. All in a day's work, right? Things began to look up when we got to the morgue and was met by Eli. We've known each other from way back, when I enjoyed this miserable job, but Eli Rabinowitz has always been able to put a smile on my face and a song in my heart. So, my young friend, you have to wait until some poor girl is murdered before you come see Eli. You see why I like this guy? Eli looked at Tyra. "Shalom, Detective Washington. How are you enjoying your new assignment?" "Dr. Rabinowitz, I made detective over 2 years ago." She smiled, and I could see Eli touched her heart also. "Heck, under 5 years, you're still new." She paused and smiled. "This is a terrible thing here, my friends, a terrible thing. Such a beautiful young girl, cut down, before she even had a chance at life. Very terrible. I've done her nails, along with her hair and the fiber collection. I tried to clean her up as best I could before her papa gets here. I hope he will be here soon." "Yes, Eli. Vic Services is driving him down here as we speak, and such joy will greet him when he arrives. A morgue is certainly one of the most disgusting places on the planet. The smell alone is enough to make you cringe. Face it, who wouldn't find it just plain creepy? But Eli brings warmth to the place that transcends through all of this. You almost feel like you should put on slippers when you come in and chat with Eli. The guy's talented as hell. A graduate of Emory University, he could have been a top-notch surgeon, pardon the pun, but without his precise yet caring hand, I'd venture to say some souls may have never found rest. When Anne arrived with Mr. Boxter, he regained his composure, and he looked as if he wanted to get this over with just as bad as we did. It was a formality, but one quick look and a nod of his head, we knew we were right. Anne turned him around and walked him out, and I followed. He turned abruptly towards me, and he reached into his coat pocket. I got nervous and instinctively moved my hand towards my shoulder holster when he pulled out a picture. "Please," he began to sob, "I want you to have this picture of Meredith. This is the way I want you to remember her. Young, beautiful, and full of life. She had her whole life ahead of her. A husband, a family. Not now. I just don't understand. She would never hurt anyone. How could someone do this to her? Why?" He turned, shaking his head. There was an emptiness in his eyes that reflected the emptiness in his life that would never again be filled. I wished I could have answered his questions when he turned, grinning his teeth, with tears in his eyes. "You find the son of a bitch who did this to my little girl. You find him." I was about to pull out my 9mm and shoot myself in the head when Anne spirited him away. Tyra saw the look of despair in my eyes. I looked at her picture, Her beauty never departed her in death. I slipped the picture into my shirt pocket and reached for my keys in my pants pocket. It had been one hell of a day, but it wasn't over. As I drove back to the office, I was mentally licking my wounds from today's battles. Something has to drop. Lord, I need some help.